What's singing this morning? Very, very good. Are we on? Yeah, okay. And a full house. It looks full. We don't have all that other space, and it looks full. And as we were talking a while ago, a couple of us, there's an excitement about a sellout crowd. Have you ever noticed that? You go to a ballpark, and the bleachers and the seats are just packed, and there's an excitement. You go, and there's just a few here and a few there. It's hard to get a lot of excitement going on. And so there's a buzz of excitement in this room this morning, and it's a good thing. The singing's great. You going to take credit for all of it, or do you think the acoustics is part of it? The acoustics is part of it. We have, I will point out to you, has been pointed out to me, we have soft padded chairs and no clock. So we can just preach for hours on ends, what someone has suggested. Mark says he's got a phone with a clock in the back and a gun to shoot me out of the pulpit if it goes too long. So we will resist that temptation. But how about these padded pews? Y'all like that. Okay. Very, very good. And there's not a clock, but we'll manage. We'll get through. Special thanks, I want to say, in the front end here, obviously to the elders, to Robert and to Mike Pollock for seeking out this place and making arrangements for us to be here on a trial run today. A lot of effort and a lot of arrangements were made on that. There have been several who have worked and worked hard on it, but one, I came down early Friday, Karen and I did, and I rode out with Robert on Friday, and Julia Pierce was here when we got here. Yesterday morning when we came out, Julia Pierce was here when we got here. She has been working just furiously, feverishly, and we need to be aware of that and thank her for that. Julie Jenkins came on yesterday and worked very hard. Karen was here, and she did a little bit. She worked hard, too. Brock came. Coleman came. They worked very, very hard getting things done. Keith was here. Who am I leaving out? Robert, Mike, am I leaving anybody out from yesterday? But say thank you to these people who helped put this together and be here for today. One other quick announcement, it's been mentioned, but the ladies are back from the mission field, and we're glad you're back. Glad you had a safe trip, safe journey. I know it was delayed getting back from what I understand, the flights and things, but you survived it, and we thank you. And the Lord thanks you for the work that you have done. Heard the story recently of three elderly sisters that lived together in the same house. On one evening, one sister was upstairs, and she had run a bathtub full of water, and she was going to take a bath. And the other two sisters were downstairs, and they heard her call out and said, "Somebody come help me." Said, "I'm up here," and I said, "I've got 1 foot in the bathtub and 1 foot out of the bathtub, and I can't remember if I was getting in or getting out." Well, another sister said, "Well, I'll come help you." So she started up the stairs. And she got halfway up to where the landing was. And she stopped on the landing of the stairs halfway up. And she hollered down to the other sister, said, "Come help me." She said, "I can't remember if I was going up these stairs or coming down these stairs." Well, the third sister was downstairs, and she said, "I am so happy that I'm not forgetful like they are." And she said, "Knock on wood." And she said, "I wonder if that was the front door or the back door." You say, "Well, what's that got to do with anything this morning?" Decisions. Decisions. Have you ever noticed that life is just literally filled with all kinds of decisions? even for God's people, even in the Bible. In the last recorded sermon of Joshua, the great leader of God, the great general of God, as he led the people in all of their conquering battles, Joshua admonished the Israelite nation to obey the Lord and serve Him, Joshua said, with all faithfulness. He encouraged them to throw away the gods that their forefathers had served and that their forefathers had worshipped. He said, serve the God of heaven. But Joshua told them, he said, if serving the Lord seems undesirable for you, he said, that's your option. But he plainly told them in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he said, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but for me and my house we will serve the Lord. A decision had to be made. And he said, you got to choose. You can't say, I'm not going to pick one. He says, it's one or the other. You choose a God of heaven and serve Him, but he said, if that seems undesirable to you, you have that option. But you need to make a decision. Goliath, the 9-foot-tall Philistine giant, he shouted across the valley of Elah in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Philistine camp was on one mountain. The Israelites, they were on another mountain. And Goliath is shouting across the valley. He said, choose a man. Have him come out to meet me. We'll meet down in the valley. He said, if he's able to fight me and kill me, we will become your servants. But if I overcome and kill him, you will become our servants and you will serve us. David, the shepherd boy, shows up to visit the Israelite camp, to visit his older brothers, and he is amazed. He just cannot believe that nobody is accepting the challenge. Nobody is making a decision. So David made one. David made one, and you know the rest of the story. Acts chapter 6, we get over to the New Testament. There's some fussing going on in the church at Jerusalem. The Grecian widows, they were claiming that they were being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food, and they were complaining about it. It was serious enough that it had the potential to turn into a big old church split if something hadn't have happened, because they were getting at odds with each other. They were taking sides, but the apostles, exercising superb leadership and superb delegation, they called everybody together and they said, brethren, choose 7 men from among you with these qualities. 7 men that we can appoint to this task, that we can turn this responsibility over to. And they did. And the Bible says, as you read along in Acts chapter 6, the Bible says it pleased the whole group. The word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. But it all happened because they took time to make some decisions. It's very interesting as we read through the Bible. Sometimes God's people even made decisions about real estate. Victor read a passage to us a moment ago, Genesis chapter 13. Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen, they were quarreling. They were fussing. They were arguing. Abraham told Lot, he said, let's not have any quarreling between you and me, for we are brethren. So Abraham gave Lot a choice. He said, the whole land is before us. He said, you go left, I'll go right. Or Lot, you want to go right, I'll go left. You decide. You make a decision. So Lot had to evaluate two different locations. And he had to make a decision. When the Israelites were ready to cross the Jordan River and finally go into the promised land, they were going to have to conquer it. There were battles they'd have to fight, but the first generation had died off that left Egypt because of their murmuring, because of their complaining, because of their unbelief. And now it's time for the next generation to go in. They're going to conquer the promised land. The Reubenites, the Gadites, half of the tribe of Manasseh, if you read Numbers chapter 32, they came and they made a request to Moses before he died. And in Numbers chapter 22, they told Moses, said, we prefer to stay right here in the land that is on the east side of the Jordan River. Rather than crossing over into the promised land and going to the west side of the Jordan, this land right here, it's suitable for our livestock, for our cattle, for us, for our needs. And we like it here. Moses agreed. They could keep the land. They could have the land they requested on the east side rather than going over into the promised land if the men of the two and a half tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh, if their fighting men crossed over to the west and helped the rest of Israel conquer the promised land. When the battles were over, the men did what Moses told them to do. Joshua later commends them that they kept their promise. But they then go back to the east side, to the land that they had chosen, saying, this is where we want to be. Any way you slice that, any way you want to look at that, you have God's people evaluating two locations, two pieces of land, and saying, this is the one we choose right here. This morning is the people of God, the West Park family, the West Park congregation. A decision needs to be made. There have been a lot of decisions made in the last almost 4 years. Some of the decisions have been pretty easy. They didn't take much thinking or much effort to make them. Didn't require much. Other decisions that have been made have been pretty difficult, pretty stressful at times. But there's a decision today that needs to be made. We're at the juncture of the history of this good church where the decision is here or there. That's the sermon title this morning. Here or there. For a long time, we've been meeting at the Bonnie Holland Elementary School in Katy, and it's been a real blessing. Really has, to have that facility, to be able to secure the school on a regular, ongoing basis. That has been a blessing from God. The Katy School District, particularly the custodial staff at Bonnie Holland, they've been very good to us. And that facility has served us well. Now, there's a new opportunity. A new door has been opened. We have the opportunity to secure this location, this building, along with the grounds here. There's some positives to the grounds. There's playgrounds out there. There's areas for picnicking. There's good parking. There's covered canopy here as you come in. But the opportunity has come that we can get this on a regular, ongoing basis. Today, It's a trial run. This is the test drive. This is when you go down to the dealership and they say, you're not going to buy this car without driving it, are you? Get in it and go drive it. See how it drives. Take it home. See if it fits in your garage. Used to, before internet came, you bought shoes the same way. Put them on. Don't get off the carpeted areas, but walk here a little bit and make a decision. So it's a trial run. That's what we're doing today. There's some positive reasons to consider. You've heard a good many of them. Number one is location. You drove by getting in here this morning. West Park's 6 acres. You came in on the west side of it this morning. This is where we're going to be. This is the community. We got the city of Fulshear instead of Husky Dogs to look at during the sermon. But this is the community that will be the home. Lord willing, and Lord continues to bless us, and we get that building put up over here. This will be the home for the West Park congregation. This facility will allow us to have a presence in this community now. A presence here is where we can become known and we can be involved. And that could be a real plus to us as we get ready to move across this road over here. Which, by the way, I noticed coming in yesterday, Bodark Lane, the name has changed to our property. You don't know because you drive by it all the time. We got a different colored sign, and our property's now on Charger Way. That's better, folks. Most people can't spell Bodark. That was going to always haunt us trying to tell people we're on Bodark. And they say, how in the world do you spell it? Most people can spell Charger. So we're now on Charger Way. But it will give us a presence into this community sooner. Also, there is a considerable monetary cash savings if we come here. Depending on how long it takes to get the building up. But there's probably at least $28,000, $29,000, $30,000, more likely probably $40,000, $45,000 savings if we come here rather than what we're spending right now at Bonnie Holland. We've already talked about the soft chairs. That's worth something. We can have special events here. We can get this where we can't get the school for VBS and gospel meetings and community events that we may want to have. This will be available to us for that. So there are several things. It's still temporary. It's still the tabernacle. It's still going to be the tent that we're in before we move into the temple as the Israelites did. But it's closer. It's closer to our acreage and where we're going to land. Are there some negatives? Yeah, there are. No decision's ever one-sided where you can't think of some negatives. One of them is room. We don't have classrooms, segregated classrooms here. That we don't over there either, but we got long hallways. But we did pretty good this morning. And the teachers have all, from everybody I've talked to, committed, we can make this work. This can work. There are plans that if we come here on a permanent basis, not permanent, on a permanent temporary basis, that there's going to be some better, bigger fences, dividers, partitions put up that will help even more with sound. And that will be done. And a lot of the men are already figuring out how to build them, how to make them, and that we can do and make it even better, enhance it from where it was this morning. Again, this was a trial run. So there's some negatives. Somebody says, well, it's a long way out there. Nearly everybody's told me this morning we found a different route, and it was about the same. About the same. Well, I can't say it was exactly the same for where we came from over on Mason Road, but I can tell you this. It's what it's going to be when we get the building built. this is where we're going to be coming. So it's not any further today than it's going to be when we cut the ribbon on the building. And so, though that's something to talk about, I don't know that is a real negative that ought to be considered in the equation. Two good opportunities, two blessings, two good possibilities. But at this point, this door has been opened to us. Some opportunities only come one time and only for a short period of time. That's what this is. You need to be aware if you say, seems like this is moving quickly and things are in a haste. Let me tell you why. The city of Fulshear has been extremely polite and nice and patient with West Park up to this point as studies have been made. By the way, they came in and painted and put new carpet up here and opened up this room that wasn't there and have done some things to make it nicer for us. But there is another religious group that wants this and wants it bad. And they're going to hold it. City of Fulshear is holding this for us for a few more days to make a decision. But after that, they can't do anything further, and the other group has already said, we're in. We're there. Now, does that mean we got to do it? No, but does mean we got to make a decision. Just like in the Bible, when Joshua would say, choose you this day. Abraham would tell Lot, our herdsmen are quarreling. There's some dispatch needed here. We got to make a decision. That's where we're at. We got to make a decision, or this opportunity, this door, will be closed, and we can't get this one back. Is there something else out there? Probably. We can't get this back. This one will be gone. Therefore, the elders are, I got to tell you, they're leaning towards holding their hand up one more time like you would at the auction and saying, we bought it. It's mine. That's where they're leaning. They were supposed to give an answer tomorrow morning. We've been granted a few more days of grace until Friday morning. So if you have feedback, if you have thoughts you want to give, you need to talk to Mike Pollock and Robert Vaughn, preferably today. That's one reason for having the brown bag luncheon. We hope if there's things you want to say to them, you'll say it today. If not, you sure need to say it quickly, because by Friday, and hopefully we could make a decision before that, but we can hold it off till Friday morning at that time. So I'm sort of kind of like the preacher at the wedding service that's got to be honest with you and say, we're lined up here, and we got the bride, and we got the groom, and we got everything about to happen. So you better speak now or forever hold your peace, because we got to go on with this. And that's just where it is. And I thought it would be best to just let you know that so you don't think that you're being rushed, but realize that that's where we are. Now, does that mean we'd be back here next Sunday? Does that mean we'll never see Bonnie Holland again? No, it's not what it means. If we make the commitment, we're going to be coming here on a regular basis. Still have to give notice to the school district at Katy. We're still, I think, paid up even for a little while over at Katy. So it would be several weeks, not months, but several weeks, probably by the 1st of August, somewhere along there, before we actually came back here to meet on a regular basis. That also gives time for the creation and the building and the design of the partitions and the things that I had talked about, or the walls that I had earlier. So that's where we're at. I know this is morning church service, but give me that y'all understand what I'm trying to communicate with you this morning. Give feedback to the elders. And let me say this. It doesn't have to be negative feedback. Even if you think something different ought to be done, you can be nice about it. And don't just give your rathers. Explain what you're thinking and why you're thinking it. Because I'm going to tell you something. I watch them and in communication with them some. You got two elders here that are working hard. They are working nonstop every day. This has turned into their full-time job. And you need to appreciate them for it. You need to help them. And you need to be thankful to them and be kind to them. So that's where we are. I would also say, as we're going through this process, though we need to use what logic we can, though we need to use the brains the Lord has given us and what reasoning abilities we have to reach a decision, we also need to remember something else. We need to remember what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Paul says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith. We may not can see it. We may not can always touch it and feel it. We need to realize, as a congregation of God's people, we cannot do it on our own. I'll say that again. We cannot do it on our own. It's not our church, number one. It's God's church, Christ's church. And we need to ask God's blessings. We need, yes, count the cost. We need to formulate the best plan we can. But there comes a time we got to turn it over to God. And we got to turn it over to God because we do walk by faith, not by sight. We may not can see it, but God does. Now, as we close this morning, the most important decision that anyone can make is, we're talking about decisions. The most important decision is to walk this aisle and say, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I have decided to follow Jesus in everything that I do. I've decided to have my sins washed away in baptism. I want to be born again to live a new life. Or I need to come back. I need to rededicate myself. I need to ask for forgiveness of the Lord and of my brethren. And I want to do it today. All other decisions pale in comparison to that one. If you need to make it, we hope that you will. Right now, as we stand and as we sing.